Hello, and thanks for joining us for this episode of the DINFOS Way. It's a podcast developed and produced at the Defense Information School. This program is dedicated to developing and showcasing the skills of military communicators, public affairs professionals, and industry experts from all over the world. I'm your host, Jack Rouse. I'm a former Navy and civilian journalist and a current training specialist here at DINFOS. Joining us today is Katie Spencer. She currently serves as a public affairs officer in the Air Force Reserve and is a veteran of Operations Enduring Freedom and Freedom Sentinel. But Katie is also the Sports Outreach Program Manager for the Department of the Air Force in a civilian capacity. Most recently, she was with the Thunderbirds for their flyover at Super Bowl 58. Today, we're going to learn more about her, this unique role for a military communicator, how she got here, and what her plans are for this program. Katie, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
This is such a fun conversation to have. I'm really looking forward to it because you do something that is very special and unique in the military that a lot of people have questions about and aren't aware of how it works and don't know anything about, but they see it all the time. So I would love if you could kind of tell me more about what the Sports Outreach Program Manager for the Air Force actually does.
Yeah, so I am very fortunate in that I get to work with the sports industry. And essentially what my main role is I connect industry, so collegiate and professional sports, with our air and space assets. So whether that's a flyover, whether that's senior leaders who are there representing the Air and Space Force, whether it's putting defenders on the ground to introduce a pitcher or escort them out, social media, fun ideas to really share our air and space stories with a very recruitable and large demographic like the sports world.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the biggest things to hit on is that, first of all, people may say, why do we have that? Well, that's, you know, one of our demographics that we're after is young people that we want to have, you know, have a positive idea of what our services look like and how better to do that with them with a sports outreach program.
Yeah, I think that we are in a unique opportunity because, you know, from an Air Force perspective, we have lots of planes. We have lots of iron assets that people love to see outside of air shows. You know, sometimes they can't get to an air show in their communities, but they can go to a sports event. And when they see that plane flying over, you know, they get that sense of patriotism and pride for the country. And maybe that little boy or girl in the stand says, you know what, I want to do that one day. And it just inspires that next generation.
Exactly. You know, your external audience there is extremely important, but your internal audience is as well. You know, we have so many service members that are reminded of the importance of what they do as well when they see these flyovers and when they see the Air Force planes and the people and the pomp and the circumstance, right? So it's just as valuable to our internal retention effort, I think, as well.
I think so. And we work really hard. You know, I know from my perspective at the Pentagon, we work very closely with, you know, the MADCOMs and the wings. And we really try to offer opportunities for airmen and guardians to go out to these games, whether it's, you know, being present on the field and saluting the flag, whether it's being recognized for something, that, like an achievement that they did at the game, or a hero of the game, a game ball delivery, a first pitch. You know, we offer these opportunities to our airmen and guardians to remind them that their service matters and that what they do has an impact.
Tell me a little bit about what your everyday looks like as the Sports Outreach Program Manager. I had a feeling it wasn't going to be the same every day.
Yeah. Well, I, you know, bear the commute to the Pentagon.
I'm sorry, first of all.
Yes. And I think it just depends, you know, like right now, but I will give you a brief overview of what my last couple weeks has looked like. Within the span of 7 days, we have had three major events. So here in D.C., we had the Savannah Bananas come to D.C. We had U.S. women's soccer team come for their Olympic send-off. And we had U.S. Space Force Day with the Washington Nationals.
Wow.
And those are all kind of happening back to back to back. And so what my role is I work with the organization, so the Savannah Bananas, U.S. Women's Soccer, Washington Nationals, and we plan out what the military role is going to look like. You know, if it's a flyover, where that flyover is going to come from, Making sure that the timing is correct for that flyover and working with the aerial control teams and the production of the organization that's hosting us. You know, if we're going to have assets on the field, so at the Savannah Banana Game, we had security forces representatives escort the closing pitcher onto the field. What does that field choreography look like? You've got credentials, you've got, if we have senior leaders coming to the game, you know, we had a two-star come and she walked the U.S. women's soccer team out of the tunnel at the game. You know, what does her role look like? Scripting, making sure that we get social media content, and just working with all of the assets to ensure that we get great coverage and representation of our assets at the game.
Wow. That is so much. That is so much to coordinate. That is so much to do. Oh my goodness. Do you have a team that you work with to do that? Or is it just you?
So my sole role is sports outreach program manager.
Got it. Okay.
And so I kind of facilitate everything, but it definitely takes a team of people, right? So
for sure.
Talk about the social media coverage. I work with our internal people in the Pentagon, you know, to ensure that I'm getting them the content that they need to push out on social media. I'm working with the wings. I'm working with, if we have senior leaders, I'm working with their security detail. You know, like it does take a village, and I'm kind of the overall facilitator of it all.
Does being a major in the Air Force Reserve help you facilitate any of that, or does it give you any sort of benefits, or are the two roles just completely separate and separate hats?
No, they are very much intertwined together. I think that as I've grown, I was prior enlisted in the Air Force Reserve, and then I was fortunate enough to get my commission. And so being the person that, you know, was the technical person, right? I was out there taking video and photos and writing stories. And then getting my commission, I transitioned into a leadership role. And so I learned how to delegate. I learned how to show appreciation. I learned how to mentor. And so I think in my role as a civilian, you know, I can't absorb the entire operation of like a Super Bowl operation, right? You have to learn how to delegate, and you have to learn to give other people the opportunities to learn and rise, because I was afforded those opportunities. So you got to pay it forward, whether it's in a military capacity or a civilian capacity.
For sure. For sure. Tell me specifically, if you don't mind, a little bit about what goes into orchestrating Super Bowl flyovers, because it's something that everybody is familiar with. It's something everybody has seen, but I have always looked at those and just thought how difficult it must be to coordinate the angles, the flight path, the other planes in the area. Just how difficult is all of that, and sort of what goes into doing that?
So it takes about a year when we're planning a Super Bowl operation. It takes about a year, and that's when we start thinking about what kind of aircraft we want. So the NFL will come to us, and, you know, we look at the location, and we look at the venue, and we try to figure out what makes the most sense, because the NFL loves a great story, and we want to make sure that we're getting our messaging out there. So let's talk about the most recent one that we just did in Las Vegas. So it was the first Super Bowl ever in Las Vegas. It made sense to have the Thunderbirds, because the Thunderbirds are the home team. They are based out of Nellis Air Force Base in Las Vegas. And everyone loves the air power, the smoke that the Thunderbirds bring. So once we decided that it was going to be the Thunderbirds, we start working, we have to get put on their schedule. Their schedule is built 2 years in advance. So we had to make sure we got on their schedule. And then it's just working closely with the NFL and, ensuring that we've got our access to the stadium. It's making sure that we are coordinating the timing part of that. So we have a special aerial control team from Langley Air Force Base at Air Combat Command that specializes in these types of things. So it's making sure that they have the run of show. It's production meetings. It's the week leading up to the Super Bowl, because it's not just the flyover that we do. It's a week of operations. So we have a media day. We have a community outreach day. We have a recruiting booth at Super Bowl Experience where we bring the pilots to and they sign autographs and take pictures. We do public affairs flights where we try to fly celebrities in the back of an F-16 and give them the full experience. This year we did an engagement with the Las Vegas Sphere. It's making sure we get a police escort so when the pilots land at the base that they can get back. It's the third quarter recognition. So this year we did a player intro style where the NFL came out to Nellis. We filmed a whole intro with their production team and they aired it right before we brought 50 Thunderbirds onto the field during the Super Bowl to be recognized at the salute moment.
Wow.
It's making sure that we have a presence in the game day guide, you know, that says, hey, we're doing the flyover. We work closely with Air Force Recruiting Service. They built a QR code, a Snapchat QR code this year, so people could have a Thunderbird filter at the game. Access to the roof. And then there's the physical timing of it. So on game day, we are there and we have the run of show. We know exactly how long the anthem is going to be. We've got our people on the radio on the roof, talking to the people in the jets, talking to the people on the field, talking to the people in the production booth. And it all kind of comes together to hit that time over target. And the Air Force is so good at that because that's our job, is to be on time, any place, anywhere.
Man, that the coordination of that is mind-blowing. And the fact that it takes a whole year, you saying that, was a surprise to me until you started explaining everything that goes into it. And then, of course, it just makes total sense. And that's just incredible. And you mentioned sort of in some other interviews that you had an emotional reaction to that moment in the Super Bowl. Can you kind of talk about why that was and sort of what you were feeling when that happened?
Yeah, so the interview that you're referencing, I was talking about the Super Bowl in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So I believe that was Super Bowl 56 at SoFi Stadium, and it was our Air Force 75th anniversary year. Big year, big time for the Air Force. Yep, we put our heritage flight over SoFi Stadium, so our heritage flight is comprised of a whole bunch of air power. It's our F-22, an F-35, an F-16, an A-10, and a P-51. And the P-51 leads the formation. And it kind of shows it's a visual representation of where we've been and where we're going. And the Los Angeles airspace is very tricky. SoFi Stadium is directly in the flight pattern of LAX.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no real airfield that's next to SoFi. So we were staged out of an Army airfield with very little resources for fifth-gen aircraft. And so the entire operation was just organically difficult because of the lack of resources that we had. And it took so much coordination. It was a joint effort because we were working with the Army. And when we saw those airplanes come into sight over the Coliseum, and they were inbound, and the national anthem, Home of the Brave, and they hit their timing, it was a culmination of all of the coordination, all of the stress, all of the emotion, and you just see it and you hear it, and like you feel like that jet, because I'm on the roof, so you feel that jet noise in your soul.
Yeah.
And I just like I wept a little bit. Like, it was just a very emotional moment to see it all come together and to hear the fans inside the stadium cheer so loud. It is a reminder that it's all worth it because people love their sports and they love their country.
Mm-hmm.
And to bring it together and be part of that experience is just so humbling.
Of all the things that you've mentioned, you know, you've talked about a lot of things that are challenging. What would you say is either the biggest challenge that you faced with these flyovers or maybe the most surprising challenge that that people might not ordinarily think would be something that would be difficult?
I don't think there's one single challenge when it goes into coordinating flyovers for sports events or just working with the sports industry in general. I think that it's like a lot of little challenges, you know, while the sports industry, whether it's the MLB or the NFL, they have a deep appreciation for the military. You know, it's still our two organizations trying to come together with our different processes and timelines, you know, when I bring a senior leader to a sports event, you know, they want all the information weeks in advance. You know, we want the read ahead. We want exactly what they're going to be doing, where they're going to be doing it. But a lot of times these NFL teams or sports teams in general, they live game to game. And so it's a little challenging sometimes to get all of the information up front. And it's just being flexible and adaptable with the understanding of the organizations.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think there's one linear challenge.
That just sounds like there's so many. It sounds like the whole thing is challenging.
You're not wrong.
Aside from Super Bowl flyovers, what are some other memorable experiences or events that you've been a part of in this role?
So this question is coming at a great time. Honestly, the Savannah Bananas, we just did this a few days ago. I don't know if you guys are familiar with the Savannah Bananas.
Yep.
But I've never been to a Savannah Banana game. I obviously knew about them, and we approached them months ago when we knew that they were coming to D.C. And, you know, it's more than just a flyover. So you have to look at what the team is and offer options for in-game entertainment. And so what we ended up doing was we flew their closer pitcher, Danny Hosley, in a helicopter around D.C. We have the first helicopter squadron here at Joint Base Andrews. And we flew him in the helicopter and did a whole segment where we essentially, it looked like we flew him into the game. And then so they aired it in the ninth inning. It cut to black. And then we had four defenders escort him fully kitted up onto the mound. And people went absolutely crazy. We also were able to support them with their first flyover ever. The Bananas have never had a flyover. And so we had two F-22s from First Fighter Wing at Langley come over the game, hit their timing perfectly. The Bananas had never experienced a flyover. A lot of their fans don't really go to regular sports games, so they had never seen a flyer before. It was the loudest crowd I have ever heard.
That's amazing.
Cheering for a flyover. And just the organization in general. So that was something that was really fun. It was really unique. We were able to see it. The vision go from, you know, paper to field seamlessly. So I think that moment will forever stay with me.
For folks who don't know, they are sort of the Harlem Globetrotters of baseball. And they're known for kind of being humorous and funny and having a good time while also being a ridiculously good baseball team.
I was just so blown away with everything.
They're a lot of fun to watch and a very interesting. That I can't imagine how interesting of a time that had to have been. That's really cool. You know, when we talk about this role, you know, one of the things we talked about earlier pre-show was that, you know, that you've really kind of grown this program and made it very aggressive in sort of how it works and what the outreach is like. What was it like kind of taking it upon yourself to make this program your own?
So when I first was hired into this, I was hired to do aerial events and sports outreach. And then as we kind of saw the interest for flyovers and engagement at sports events, my role kind of more shifted to focusing just on that sports outreach part. And luckily, I have fantastic leadership that trusts me and empowers me to take some risks and, you know, be step outside the box when it comes to working with these teams. And I think having someone that's dedicated to reaching out to these teams provides a lot of continuity. And I think all of those things combined is why our program is so successful.
You know, It's really cool to hear you talk about it like that, because one of the neatest opportunities for communicators in the military especially is their opportunity to take a program or to develop something out of nowhere and sort of make it their own. And for you to do that in this way that is so beneficial and so visible to so many audiences must be a really unique feeling.
It is, because, you know, I was prior enlisted. And now always in the reserve. And I think taking something and seeing it grow and seeing it turn into this massive respected thing it's kind of surreal because you work so hard and you hope that the things that you do have impact, and you hope that you build enough credibility for your people to trust you. And it doesn't come without setbacks. It doesn't come without, you know, me being mentored a few times on things that I can do better and getting feedback. And it's just it's an evolving process. I think we as communicators, like, we're always evolving, you know, and so it's always, it's a daily reminder that you just gotta where you've been and what your potential is.
Exactly. You know, one final part of your career I'd like to talk about that I find very interesting. You've also mentioned in the past that you have some involvement with the North American Aerospace Command Defense's Santa Tracker program, which I know a lot of people
Yes!
are very familiar with. So I was hoping you could tell me more about your involvement with that.
Yeah, so that is more of like a informal, unofficial role. So right before COVID, I was fortunate enough to use some of my military time, my annual tour, and go out to NORAD and NORTHCOM out in Colorado and work in their operations center for tracking Santa. It was always on my PA bucket list to go out there and do that. It is the largest outreach event that the DoD has. It's a single event, so it's the largest that the DoD has. And it was just such an amazing experience it is the perfect example of using the mission and tying it into like a pop culture relevant thing that people can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just fascinated by it. And, you know, COVID hit. And so I never really got to go back. So instead, what I do is I virtually track Santa every Christmas Eve. I have the tracker up on my TV screen, and I end up, instead of answering calls at the op center, I FaceTime families. So I push it out on my Facebook, and I offer, you know, for my friends and family, for me to track Santa for their little ones. And I think this past year, I was up to 53 families that I was able to FaceTime and talk
wow.
to. I find that FaceTime is, you can make it more theatrical. You know, I have the list, and it has a secret cover sheet on it.
Oh, I love it.
Because the list is confidential. And it's really cool. And I'm able to explain how we track Santa, why we track Santa. And it gives some context for these kids, because a lot of my, you know, my friends and family are the military, and so it gives context for these little ones for what their parents do and how they support our country. And it is one of my favorite traditions that I do.
That's so cool. You know, you've someone who has worked with in the sports industry now in all of these incredible events, and then with Santa Claus, you've certainly met some very interesting people and had some very cool experiences. You know, what advice would you give to service members, or not even service members, folks who are thinking about joining this profession, folks who are thinking maybe about joining the military to do our jobs, folks who are just in the communications field and are interested in doing the kinds of amazing things that you've done? What kind of advice would you give them on getting into the kind of position and doing the kind of things that you're doing?
Well, first I would say congratulations on being part of the best career field in the Department of Defense.
Absolutely,
because
for sure.
In my opinion, PA is just, you get such a taste of all the different mission sets and a real appreciation for what we're doing as a military. I think some advice I would have is just, I think relationship building is really important, you know, and so I always encourage my airmen, hey, if you've got downtime, go out to the flight line, talk to the maintainers, talk to the pilots, talk to, you know, go talk to finance, go talk to FSS, because those guys are important too. Just go talk to anybody and build those relationships, because contacts are currency, right? That's how our business works. We need to, you know, when it comes to storytelling and getting the access to take pictures and videos, and it's important that we know who to go to and that they trust you. In a world where information warfare is becoming a very real thing, we need to make sure that what we're pushing out is accurate, timely, and we can't do that if we don't have the context on the other side to facilitate that.
Gosh, I don't think I could have said that any better. That's fantastic
yeah.
advice.
Thank you.
What do you think is the... I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
Oh, Oh, no. And I was just going to say, like, transparency is really important and really not being afraid to take those risks. You know, I think that as young airmen, it's important to not be afraid to go to your leadership and say, hey, I have this idea. This is why I think it'll work. Can we do this? And I think that as leaders, it's important for us to trust that airman and not be so afraid to take a risk, because more times than not, if it's a calculated risk and it's thought out, I think that it can lend a lot of benefit. So not being afraid to think outside the box and be creative and not always do what we've done, because things are changing and we got to keep up.
Yeah. And again, fantastic advice. And exactly like you said, one of the best parts about this career field is you have the endless opportunity for creativity and for development of the things that interest you. And for it to just come solely from your interest, you could do whatever you want. You can create a podcast. You can develop a sports outreach program. You can, you know, do all of these amazing and wonderful things simply because of the incredible nature of our career field.
Yeah, I think so. And I think, you know, if I were a young airman, I think my first thought would be like, well, I can't do anything if my leadership doesn't allow me to. And to that, I would just say, if you come with ideas and they are researched and you have evidence and facts and a solid plan, as a leader, we will tell you, go ahead with it, you know, because it can't just come with a half planned idea, you know? And so executing your passion and coming in with reasoning is super important for our young airmen.
God, it's so gratifying to hear you say that, because that's what I tell my students all of the time, the vast majority of which are young airmen and young sailors and young Marines and young soldiers. And I tell them that all the time. If you go to your leadership with a creative idea that's well thought out, they will tell you to go, just to be free to do it.
Yeah.
That's the kind of thing that they're looking for out there. And you can make all of this your own just by showing some interest and some forward thinking.
Yep. I think that you're 100% right. And you know, and for the ones that sometimes it might not work, that's okay. You're not going to get a yes all of the time, but at least you've developed a reputation for being someone that plans and research. And then that leadership is going to come to you when they have an idea and they're going to get your input. So you really can't go wrong with taking initiative.
100%. Absolutely. What do you think the future of not only your program, sports outreach program, but public affairs as a whole sort of looks like as we move towards this uncertain information future that we have in front of us?
Ooh, I do not even know how to answer that. That is a very heavy question. I don't know. I think that if you were to ask me 10 years ago when I started this, you know, to build this program up, I definitely would not have told you that I would have gone to 5 Super Bowls and done the things that, you know, that we've been able to achieve. I think it's important for us as communicators to stay informed and educated on our current events, Air Force policies, trends, you know, and that will help us craft relevant execution for whatever it is that we're doing.
Excellent. Yeah, no, I totally agree with you. And it is that being well-informed aspect that I think is going to lead us into the future.
Yeah, and that's a hard thing to do. Like, it's hard to stay informed because there's so many avenues of information that's out there. The information environment is wild. Like, it is large, it's comprehensive, and that's a hard thing to do. But we're lucky that we have the tools and resources to make it happen.
Absolutely. And we have some of the best people in the world doing the job for us in our services. And so I think it's going to be just fine. We are well prepared and well researched and well informed. And I think as uncertain as things are, as long as we continue to stick to the fundamentals of our roles, we can never go wrong, which I think is one thing that that our public affairs career field has just shown time in and time out.
Yeah, and I think evolving with the trends too, because what I learned at DINFOS in 2009, going through the DPAS course, is not necessarily how we're going to implement things, you know, 15 years later.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, I have one last question for you. It might be the most important one, but only to me. So how can I either get on the field at the Super Bowl or meet Santa? Can you hook a brother up? Like, can you help me out, man?
If I had a dollar for every time somebody asked me that, I would be very rich. Yeah. I wish that I could tell everybody, like, hey, come on the field. Let's all enjoy this experience together. But, you know, my comment to that is you can be part of it and watch on social media and live vicariously through us.
Absolutely. That is a fantastic answer.
Or you can FaceTime me on Christmas Eve and I'll tell you where Santa is and you can plan a meet and greet.
I might hold you to that too, ma'am. You never know. You know, you've got to always shoot your shot, right?
Hey.
Oh my
God. You know
goodness.
What? There's that. That's the advice I give to the airmen. Shoot your shot.
Absolutely, because you never know if it might get you on the field of the Super Bowl or you might get to meet Santa. You just never know.
you never know. You know what? Let's combine them. We'll do a flyover of Santa sleigh over the next Super Bowl.
Why? How have you actually not ever done that is my question.
Yeah, I mean, Santa has Santa magic, so we never know where he is at any given point. So it's very likely that he has done a few recon missions over sports events to see who's being naughty or nice.
Before I let you go, ma'am, did you see the Dude Perfect video that came out the other day? And if so, did you have anything to do with that?
I did see it, and it was very cool. And our entertainment liaison office did a lot of planning with that. So shout out to them. They're always doing fun projects and stuff in Hollywood and with influencers and stuff. So while I specifically had nothing to do with it, our community outreach at SAFPA handled that.
What a cool thing, and what a smart idea for recruiting it was to work with them to do that. And I can't imagine how much effort it took to do all of that and not kill anybody. That looked very involved and well thought out and well planned. I was watching that whole thing just thinking to myself how hard it was for some PA team to do that.
I mean, it takes a lot. And like, when we talk about like the evolution of where we're going, like you look at influencers and content creators, and that Dude Perfect engagement got more attention on it than likely like a media piece with Air Force Times. No disrespect to Air Force Times. They do great work. But, you know, you got to look at your audience. And, you know, if we're looking to recruit, the Dude Perfect is perfect because it hits that audience. And so, you know, traditional media versus this new world of influencers and content creation, it's really fascinating to see how it all comes together.
Yeah, that video currently at this moment stands on YouTube with 5.2 million views. That's many people that has reached.
That's crazy.
And they have 60 million subscribers. So that was quite the get for the United States Air Force. So hats off to the education liaison team, or the entertainment liaison team, I'm sorry. They did a fantastic job with that.
Yeah.
How
and the
smart
base.
That was. And the base, where
did
they
shoot
that?
Yeah, and the base, too. The base did a great job. Yeah, I think it was at Altus, I think.
Yeah, they did a great job. They made the pilots look super cool. They did a great job helping the Dude Perfect team focus not only on the Dude Perfect actors, but also on the service members that were there, the equipment that they were using. It was just really well done, back and forth, give and take, and just an excellent example of PA professionals at work. I thought it was great.
Yeah, we love a good, solid PA engagement that goes right and is received well. We love that.
Well, ma'am, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun talking to you. You have such a unique role. Both in the Air Force Reserve and in the civilian world down there at the Pentagon, that it was just really interesting to hear you talk about it. And I really thank you for joining us. We appreciate it very much.
Thank you guys so much for having me. It's been a blast.